Amen. Thank you, Matt. You can open your Bibles. Well, we're going to be all over the place. I've got all the scriptures in the Bible for you, but we're going to be all over the place. One of the things that we'll focus on is 1 Corinthians 12:13. And let me just say, if you're a guest with us here today, if you would take a moment and fill out this portion of the bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." That lets us know who was here worshiping with us today. And then you could just put it in that little wood box, tear that part off, put it in the little wood box back there by the double doors that you came through, and that lets us know again who was here worshiping. There's a lot of guests. We're having a lot of guests every Sunday, so help me with your names for a little bit, okay? We have a ton of people, brand new people coming in almost every Sunday, and so you being gracious to me and helping me with your names would be gigantic. Now, we're going to baptize another young man in several weeks. So if you seeing these men following God in baptism and that spoke to you and you realize, you know what, I need to follow the Lord in baptism, then all you have to do is call me, email me, come see me, and I'll walk you through the rest of that process just like I did these two gentlemen. But I'm very, very thankful for their witness. And then next Sunday, I want you to make a note of something. Most of you know Mike Hall, my uncle, who's preached for me many times when I'm out. Well, as you know, we lost my dad in September. We lost an uncle, my Uncle Bud, like about 2 weeks ago, somewhere in there. My grandfather, that's 100, is going back and forth between the hospital and home and having some pretty significant health issues. And then my cousin Steve, Mike's oldest son, has a daughter who's a senior in high school. Her name's Claire, and she's battling a brain tumor right now. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the Irvin family, or in Mike's, the Hall family, or the Moore family. Mike has done his own personal study on not losing hope. And as he began to tell me about that, I asked him, I said, "Well, are you going to preach that at your church?" And he said, "Yeah, my pastor has asked me to preach it at my church in Austin." And I said, "Well, would you be interested in doing that at Grace Bible Fellowship?" And he said, "I would love to do that at GBF as well." And so the board and myself thought, man, you know, what a great opportunity. So next Sunday, I'll be here, but Mike will be here bringing that message on how not to lose hope. And right now, everybody needs that, right? With the stuff we got going on, everybody needs that, right? But this will come out of Mike's own personal study with losing the relatives, or, you know, past and possibly near future, that's been going on in my family as well. So I want to invite you to be sure and be part of that this next Sunday. Today we're going to talk more about baptism from a biblical perspective. And one of the things that I'm really big on is I've never felt called to say what other people are doing wrong. I've never felt called to say what other churches are doing wrong. All I feel called to do is help us understand what we at GBF sense the Lord telling us to do. And we worry about ourselves. We're not worried about everybody else. The Lord can handle all these other churches and all these other people. That's not my business. That's not my program. But what I am going to show you this morning is why we baptize people the way we baptize them, and what the significance is of that for those of us at GBF. But we're also going to talk about racial issues. We also have a lot of racial issues going on in our world right now. But when you begin to understand baptism from the biblical perspective, then you begin to see how baptism solves all racial issues. When you begin to understand it from a biblical perspective, what it means to be in Christ, you see how, and what it means to be in God's family, and how that becomes the priority for a believer now solves all racial issues. So we're going to get into that a little bit as well. Water baptism is like a wedding ring. It's a visible symbol of a spiritual reality that takes place in your life. It's a visible symbol of a spiritual transformation, if you will, that takes place in a person's life. And in the Bible, people always followed salvation with water baptism. You see that all through Scripture. In fact, Jesus commanded his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. He says, the Bible says, he came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, I want to stop you real quick, and I want you to circle in your notes those two words, all authority, because that's very, very significant. What you see in the Bible is that Jesus was completely 100% submissive to God the Father, yet him and the Father were one, according to the Scripture. And God the Father gave Jesus all authority, Jesus said, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he tells his, or instructs his disciples to do this. He says, I want you to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So notice the order here. Jesus told his disciples to go into all nations with all peoples, share the gospel, or lead people to believe in him, and he called that making disciples. And then, after they believe, Jesus says, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So baptism was very important to Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself was baptized. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 9, in your notes, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And so Jesus set for us the example that he wanted the rest of us to follow. And the Bible says in Acts 18 that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians heard Paul, believed, and were baptized. Everybody that believed was baptized. And that leads us to point number one in your notes this morning. Water baptism is a visible symbol of the spiritual transformation that takes place when a person surrenders his or her life to Jesus Christ as their only God and their only Savior. Write that in your notes this morning. Water baptism is a visible symbol of the spiritual transformation that takes place when a person surrenders his or her life to Jesus Christ as their only Lord and Savior. And so to refuse to be baptized is refusing to obey Christ. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him, that is Christ. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Therefore, following Christ in baptism is this physical expression of a spiritual reality of being joined together with Christ and being joined together with Christ's body, the church. Okay? Yet failing to follow Christ in baptism is also failing to be obedient to him, which deprives the believer of a vital part of the experience and blessing of his or her new life in Jesus Christ. It's like being married and refusing to wear the ring. There'll always be something missing in the relationship. Now, when Andrea and I were in Israel, we were having a jeweler from Israel come meet us at our hotel. And he was going to show us all these different things that we could buy. And I told Andrea, I said, I want you to look through this catalog, pick out what you want, and I'm going to buy it for you. And she said, what I want is for you to get another wedding ring, because I had lost my wedding ring. And so that's what I did. I got another wedding ring, and so it's made out of gold and silver, and Psalm 37:4 is inscribed in here in Hebrew, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I'm thinking, well, the desire of my heart, second only to Jesus Christ, is my wife, Andrea. She is by far the most significant, important relationship that I will ever have, second from Jesus Christ. And so let's put this on that ring. But you see, without the wedding ring, and this is what Andrea helped me realize, without the wedding ring, Chris, there'll always be something missing. And the same is true with water baptism. Until you follow Christ in baptism, there'll always be something missing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. So maybe you're here today and you're thinking, wow, you know what? I had no idea it was that big a deal. I had no idea it was that important. You know what? That's okay. But you can be obedient to Christ and you can follow him in baptism. All you have to do is call me or email me and I'll guide you through that process. All right. So we've talked about water baptism. Y'all are going to excuse me for a minute. I'm on allergy medicine. I'm dried out. We've talked about water baptism, so let's take a moment now and talk about spiritual baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is that about? What does that mean? Point number two. Point number one, water baptism is the visible symbol. It's the wedding ring that symbolizes the spiritual transformation that took place in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your only Lord and your only Savior. Number two, whoever believes in the person and work of Jesus Christ is spiritually baptized by Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, thereby placing him or her into the family of God. Whoever believes in the person of Jesus Christ, and what I mean by that is that he is himself God, and he is God's one and only Savior. And whoever believes in the work of Jesus Christ, and what I mean by that is that his sacrifice on the cross alone, nothing you and I can do to add to it, his sacrifice on the cross alone takes away your sin and makes you right with God when you put your faith in him. Okay? And so whoever believes in the person and the work of Jesus Christ is spiritually baptized then at that point, at the point of salvation. They are baptized by Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, placing him or her then into the body of Christ, or God's church family. So the Holy Spirit's baptism is when the Spirit of God indwells the believer, comes and lives inside of the believer. It's a gift from God at the point of salvation, and the Holy Spirit then places him or her into the fellowship of believers. So it's important to understand that as a believer, or as a Christian, you're not just called to believe, you're also called to belong. You're not just called to believe in Jesus Christ, you're called to belong to his family, his church, the church of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a title. I'm talking about the body of Jesus Christ. That's God's chosen agenda for the world. Man didn't come up with the church. Christ created the church. It's his body, and it's his chosen agenda for reaching the rest of the world with the gospel. And so it's important to realize that you're called to believe, but you're also called to belong. You're not just called to God's universal church, as people sometimes tell me. Well, you know, I'm part of God's universal church, Chris, so I don't need the local church. That's like saying I'm part of the human race, so I don't need my family. I don't need my wife. I don't need my children. I don't need my parents. God didn't make you and I to grow up that way, did he? He made us to grow up in a small group environment where we would get the love we need, the care we need, the encouragement we need, the admonishment that we need, the correction we need. And that's what God did when he formed the body of Christ, called the church. In fact, in the New Testament, the church is used, the word church is used 110 times, and only four of those times, only four, is it talking about the universal body of believers. 106 times, it's talking about the local body of believers. It's talking about the church at, like the church at Ephesus, the church that met in Corinth, the church that met in Lydia's home, so on and so forth. And that's how God has set up the discipleship process to take place. You were not meant to grow up in isolation spiritually. In fact, it won't happen. It'll always be a struggle. And you'll never really grow and become who God wants you to become apart from His church. Because you learn to love and you learn to show grace to other people, imperfect, sinful people, as you come together with them and learn to love them like Jesus loves us. And learn to show them grace and forgiveness like Christ has shown us. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians 12:13 in your notes. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized." Circle that phrase, "all baptized." We were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, the Greek word for baptism comes from, the word for baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse or to dip under water. And it describes the process that a person would go through when they wanted to dye a piece of cloth back in an ancient world. If you wanted to dye a piece of clothing or a piece of cloth and you wanted it to be blue, you would take that piece of clothing or cloth and you would immerse the entire piece of clothing down into the blue dye. And when the piece of cloth came up out of the blue dye, it had taken on a whole new color. Put another way, it had taken on a whole new identity. And a believer, listen, this is critically important to understand, a believer recognizing, owning, and walking in his or her new identity in Christ is critical for victory in the Christian life. It's critical for victory in the Christian experience and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's also critical to the witness and the impact that the body of Christ, His church, will have on the rest of the world, as we shall see in a minute. Point number three. Baptism of the Holy Spirit takes people who have lived in sin apart from Christ, apart from God, because God's holy. It means He's completely separated from sin. He has no sin. He can't dwell in the presence of sin. And so baptism of the Holy Spirit takes a person who's lived in sin apart from Christ and gives them a whole new identity and immerses them into the family of God. Put another way, when you're saved, God places His Spirit in you, which identifies you as being in Christ Jesus. You're no longer in sin, positionally speaking. You might still struggle with sin, practically speaking, but your position before God now is completely 100% forgiven, sin-free. So you are no longer, positionally speaking, in sin, because now the Bible says you are in Christ Jesus. And so when God sees you, He now sees Jesus Christ. He looks through the blood of Jesus Christ and sees a clean you. In other words, God doesn't primarily see a white you, a black you, or a brown you. He sees a red you. He sees a red you because you've been immersed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees a red you because you've been washed in the blood of God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means it's time for us as believers to start living like we've been redeemed. It's time for us as believers to realize and own our new identity in Christ and place some of these other things that we put so much importance on behind us. It's time for us to take off the old clothes and put on the new clothes. And to become who we were meant to be in Christ Jesus. You don't buy new clothes and put them on over old clothes, because it'll never work. But that's what many people try to do. They get saved one day. They pray a prayer one day, and they move on through life with these new clothes, trying to fit over these old clothes, this old way of life, and it's never going to work. The old clothes have to go away. They need to be thrown away. The old life needs to be thrown away so that we can become who Christ has meant for us to be, so we can realize and own our new identity in Christ Jesus and realize that all this brown skin, black skin, and white skin stuff is secondary compared to the blood of Jesus Christ that we have now been immersed in. We've been given a whole new identity, and we've been placed in a whole new family, the family of God as believers in Christ Jesus. Your skin color doesn't matter anymore. How much money you have or how much money you don't have doesn't matter anymore. Your status in HICO does not matter anymore when you are in the family of God. You've been given a whole new identity, and you belong to a new family. You've been immersed in the blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that means whether you're black, brown, yellow, or white, you're my brother. And you're my sister if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You may be green. We have a green family in our church. The greens, right? It doesn't matter what color you are. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're my brother and you're my sister. You're in my family if you're in Jesus Christ. And I refuse to allow the government or the media or even my mama to con me into seeing black, brown, or white. And my mama would never do that, but I'm just using that as an example. Because whatever the government says and whatever the media says, which drives our nation now and drives our culture, and whatever my mama says or whatever my daddy said, all became secondary to the Word of God. It all got put back here because now I live for Jesus Christ. He lives his life through me, and I refuse to let any of those other things drive and direct my life, because the primary goal of my life is to love God and love what God loves, period. And the Bible says God loves all people. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Who does the world include? All people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And the Bible says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And when Jesus was asked in Matthew chapter 22, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. In other words, this is the number one purpose for your life if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Learn to love the Lord your God. It's the number one purpose of your life. Your career is no longer the driving purpose of your life. To retire is no longer the number one purpose of your life. The number one purpose of your life, if you claim to follow Jesus, is to learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then Jesus added this, even though he wasn't asked. And to learn to love your neighbor as yourself. So the primary goal of my life is to love God and love what God loves, which is the world, period. And I refuse to buy into any other narrative. I refuse to be led by anyone other than God. I refuse to be taught by any other event or experience other than my experience in Christ. I refuse to follow any other narrative than the narrative of God's word. No one else will tell me who to believe, and no one else will tell me who to blame, because I have been set free in Christ Jesus. I've been set free from all that mess, and I don't have to live in those ways, because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God, my only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says in Galatians 6:10, so then, while we have opportunity, while we're still here on this earth, let's do good to all people, the Bible says, and especially those who are in the household of faith, meaning the body of Christ, his church. I love what one author said. He said, because of Calvary, meaning where Jesus was crucified, because of Calvary, I'm free to choose. And so I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. And I choose kindness. I will be kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. Amen. And my number one purpose in life is to love God and follow him and him alone, because he gave up his life for me. So no matter what happens, I choose to forgive. Listen to me very closely. No matter what happens, I choose to forgive. And I choose to forgive so I can live. And I choose to forgive so I can live in freedom. Until you learn to forgive everybody of everything they've ever done to you, you might survive, but you won't live. And you certainly will not live in freedom. I choose to identify myself first and foremost as a child of God, bought by and immersed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, my primary color is not the color of my skin. It's the color of my Savior's blood. And my primary culture is not Caucasian. It's Christian. Because I have been redeemed and restored by the love and power of Jesus Christ. And listen to me closely. There's nothing wrong with being white, black, yellow, brown, or any other color. That's the way God made you. He loves variety, so enjoy it. Enjoy and embrace your culture. I don't know what I'd do without Mexican food. I mean, I don't. My wife and I have it every Sunday. We come away from here going, hey, praise God, let's go get Mexican food. But I love other cultures. I love other cultures. It's so cool that we have these other cultures, and I don't have to force my culture on you. And you don't have to force your culture on me. You don't have to do like I do, and I don't have to do like you do, but we can still love each other. And we can still be family, because you and I have been redeemed and restored by the love and power of Jesus Christ. But remember, first and foremost, who you are in Christ Jesus, because you've been bought and paid for. That's what the word redeemed means. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been bought and paid for by the blood of God's Lamb. And that should always be your top priority. It should always be the driving force in your life if you belong to the family of God. Because as a Christian, you've been transformed and immersed into a whole new identity and a whole new family. Again, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink from one Spirit. And listen, if you identify first and foremost as a white person, you've missed the gospel. If you identify first and foremost as a black person, you've missed the message of the gospel. If your priority is to identify first and foremost as a Hispanic person, you do not understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because once you're redeemed and baptized by Christ, then being in Christ trumps everything else in your life. And this baptism takes place the moment we place our trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And the indwelling, you might want to write this in your notes, the indwelling of the Spirit refers to the Spirit's ongoing process in your life. The indwelling of the Spirit refers to the Spirit's ongoing process in your life and ongoing presence in your life. And the filling of the Spirit refers to the Spirit's ability to give you victory in life as you choose to follow the Word of God and live in obedience to God's Word. The Bible says in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope, for we are members of one another. Amen. And I want to, in closing, listen to what Jesus prayed. This is his last prayer before he went to the cross. Of all the things he could have prayed, he prayed this. Heavenly Father, I do not ask you to take them, meaning those that followed him, his disciples, out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. To keep them from the ways of this world, basically. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So sanctify them in your truth. In other words, the word sanctify means to be set apart from the world, the ways of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I am also sending them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. And I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but also for those, listen to this, who will believe in me, Jesus says, through their word, through their witness, through their testimony, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they may also be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. That's how important it is that you and I get this right. That's how important it is that we begin to understand racial issues from a biblical perspective instead of listening to the media and to politicians. It's our entire witness for Jesus Christ is at stake here. So first and foremost this morning, have you been redeemed? Have you been redeemed and restored by the blood of the Lamb? By putting your faith in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Secondly, have you been immersed or baptized into your new identity in Christ Jesus in such a way that the people around you want to know Jesus Christ? I'm going to close with three verses. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And the Bible says, in him, Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we then have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Will you join me in prayer this morning? You may be here this morning and with every eye closed and every head bowed, or you may be watching online. But if you would like to receive God's truth about how you can be redeemed and washed in the blood of God's Lamb, Jesus Christ, no matter what you've done in the past, you can receive his truth by placing your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Lord and your only Savior. God himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and die in your place for the payment of your sins. And so maybe today you'd like to quit trying to make up for all your sins and accept God's free gift of eternal life, free gift of grace, by placing your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If so, then you might want to repeat a prayer somewhat like this. These are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that you are the Savior of the world, and you are the Son of God. I realize that all authority belongs to you on heaven and on earth. And today I want to put my trust in you and your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner in need of mercy and forgiveness. And today I'm asking for your mercy and your forgiveness. I'm asking you to give me the power to turn from my sins and provide the grace to embrace my own new identity in Christ Jesus. And Lord, forgive me for playing God. Forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life. I'm ready to surrender my life to you and allow you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I'm ready to stop listening to this world and start having your word make its home in me. And so today I thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know you're a believer, but maybe today you might want to say a prayer of rededication somewhat like this. Heavenly Father, help me to begin to understand my new identity in Christ like never before. And forgive me when I start loving the ways of this world more than the ways of your word. And forgive me when I forget that I'm in Christ, and teach me to walk in my new identity like never before. Show me the areas of my life where my heart is far from you. And teach me what it looks like to deny my self-centered ways and take up my cross daily and follow you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these witnesses of Mark and Juan. And what a great witness they have been before us this morning. And we thank you and praise you for the incredible sacrifice that you have made for each one of us. And Lord, we just thank you for the truth of your word that directs us in the way that we should go. And Lord, teach us not only what it means to belong or to believe, but also what it means to belong to God's family. And teach us to learn to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ in such a way that the world will believe that you sent Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we pray all these things in his precious name. Amen. Matt will be up here this morning leading us.